Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I wasn't looking at Mole Man's penis, you were. And with me, I have...
Well, as Alan said, I thought it looked delicious.
And...
Guys, why is there a huge hole in the ground?
Oh my god, he found us! Run!
well, as Jesse Ventura would say, let me tell you, this is a gigantic conspiracy, just like the conspiracy with Vince McMahon, that no good moron. Wow, I lost the plot on there. Something conspiracy nuts. I've had a long weekend, shut up.
No, let me tell you the real conspiracy here, because, okay, I've been sitting here thinking, like, okay, so we know that Gleb has a wife named Marge Simpson, allegedly no relation. However, comma, not only did this new episode give us Mole Man, but when Alan and Gleb went to that woman's house and were babysitting her kids, one of them was very clearly an obese Bart Simpson. So, is Smiley Friends just a really weird Simpsons AU?
I don't know. Maybe we should ask the definitive, that's what I'm looking for, source on all things Smiling Friends. The cool autistic gamer 774. Yeah, there's a whole thing about whether or not that's somebody who works on the show or somebody who has inside information with people at the show and or Adult Swim. We don't know yet, but I'm sure this weird ARG experience is going to divulge into insanity at some point. Wow, I am tired today. God.
Oh, boy, howdy. That's going to be a fun trip. But anyway, enough of the Smiling Friends references. Here we are, episode 413 of this podcast. How's everyone's week been going?
Well, as is obvious by the fact that I am stumbling all over my words, I am very tired. I've had a very long weekend. I know, surprise, it's more of the same, but this one's especially long because, oh god, it's just so draining dealing with people every which way. I'm at the point where I'm just going to say, fuck it, I'm taking Halloween weekend off. Y'all can do without me. So I did. So I'm going to do that and hopefully enjoy life, because I'm at the point where I'm trying to balance my time properly, because the time I put in is not equal to the amount of money I'm getting out of it.
I'll drink to
I'm
that.
I'm also at the point now where I should finally watch Office Space, just to really solidify that whole thing and wonder how I'm going to take the next step in my life.
Yeah, that's a movie that exists.
Yes, some people claim it's not a documentary. Those people are wrong.
Yikes. Fair enough. I might put that on the watch list once I'm completely out of the spooky season mentality. It's all spooky all the time. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
My week has been the usual with work and all that shit, in colder. And, well, today, since you mentioned something spooky, well, I'm gonna add in spooky, weird, and I can't make any sense of it. AKA, I watch him.
Oh.
And I'll say this. Some parts are like, you know, I kind of understand that, given the fact that I'm actually in territory where football is celebrated. A lot, as y'all know where I'm from.
Yes.
And
I can imagine that.
Like that part. Some parts of that I understand. Like, yeah, the other parts are like, what the hell is going on? And the whole and the whole shit with what did that happen? Why did this happen? This happened. Why is there a goat? As you know, never mind. Well, no, what is a goat? But is that Tim Heidecker? Tim Heidecker in there? Yeah. This one weird ass movie that I don't hate, but I'm left baffled. Baffled and confused. Mm. But I get some music cues since I listen to the soundtrack now. I watched the movie and I guess some choices were like, you know, practice and all that shit. Like some people get it, but again, weird ass movie.
So I've heard. Anyway, as for me, a few things. Well, okay, not really much of anything, but in my world, watching TV counts for a great deal of things. So, King of the Hill binge update. I have now crossed over into season 9, and, man, Dale really likes America, doesn't he?
More than you could ever believe, or feasibly believe. You know, unless, something happens where he goes, oh my god, everything that has been said about the government is true! My whole life is a lie!
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, now I'm crossing through into late stage territory. God, there really is a lot of celebrity appearances and, like, the recent stuff. I don't know how to describe it. I kind of feel like I'm in, like, Simpsons-esque territory for the series. Which, like, look, I like The Simpsons and all, but, like, The Simpsons and King of the Hill are shows you go to for different vibes and all. It's just, I don't know, it kind of feels weird when, like, the streams are crossing. But, I will admit a couple things. One, and this is kind of related to, like, the fact that I sort of half remember some things from, like, calf-catching reruns on Adult Swim. First of all, I came across one of the only other episodes I remember sort of watching back in the day. That being the season 9 Christmas episode with the old lady that wants to die in their house. That was weird.
Oh yeah, that episode. Yeah, that was like that. It was like, hey, you want to die in my house? Like, what the fuck?
Merry Christmas.
Also, Merry Christmas to dead body.
Also, I had to double take really hard towards the end of season 8, specifically the episode where Khan and Min decide to become white trash. Specifically, because there was this one character in that episode that I'm like, oh, you're showing up now? This being a character that I always saw whenever I, like, glanced over at the TV, but, like, I didn't realize they were a late-stage addition. The fucking Bucktooth guy, Lucky, I think his name was?
Yeah.
So I will admit I read ahead a bit and somewhat spoiled, like, what his role eventually becomes, but I'm still kind of surprised. I legitimately thought he would have been in earlier. I didn't realize he would be coming in this late in the series run.
So, well, I think the plan was for somebody to bounce off of Luann, and they finally figured out who to do it with, and sure enough, Tom Petty was available for a lot of this. So why not?
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But one other thing. I'm kind of enjoying that we're sort of getting like long stretches of the series where there's very minimal Cotton Hill episodes. I don't like Cotton Hill.
He's very much designed to be hateable.
Yeah.
In so many ways. But
pretty much.
Yeah, you are now at the point where Greg Daniels, the other co-creator of the show, is basically gone. He's doing The Office now, and the celebrity cameo guest star thing, that's kind of, well, when you're on after football on Sundays at 7:30 p.m. you need something to lure people in so that they don't flick the channel to something else.
You're watching Fox. Get used to it.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense. Seriously, though, that's the one thing I'm hoping for when I get to the revival, is that there'll be no Cotton Hill, because if my understanding of the time frame is correct, he should logically be dead by then. It's just like, I could deal with him if the series didn't try to make him sympathetic. Like, he's exactly as shitty of a person as Buck Strickland, and the series never tried to make me feel bad for Buck Strickland.
Oh, don't worry. He will have a moment where you will wish him, that you will wish that he remains dead, and, yeah, you'll see it when you'll know when it happens.
I'm going to wish he became the 51st man. So that's it for that. But wait, there's more. So me and the roommates were trying to figure out something else that we could watch beyond just re-binging the same cooking shows over and over. And so eventually we found a show to settle on, and we are now, and keep in mind, I am in fact new to the show, we are now halfway through the second season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh!
This show is kind of fun. I like it.
Yeah. It's a pretty good show. Like, it's pretty funny. Like, I think the weakest part might be Andy Samberg. I still think he's funny in it.
Oh, God. Jake Peralta is a man who is the living embodiment of scaring the hoes. Foreshadowing is a literary device.
Yeah. Andre Brower, we lost you too soon.
Man, that sucks knowing he died. He's fun in this. He's like, I don't know how to describe it. I know autism when I see it. I'm just saying, I know my kind when I see it.
Yeah. And almost one more thing. After watching the show, I do a double take whenever I hear Stephanie Beatrix and other stuff. It's like, that's right, you're Rosa. You have a different voice. Because you know that, that's not a real voice. She was actually kind of higher. Like, basically, you hear something else. I mean, granted, you recognize the voice, but her voice is, actually higher. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, I know. I've seen me some has-been. But, pretty fun watch. But wait, there's a third thing. I actually finished it, not too long ago, earlier. I was just watching it through the week because I wanted something silly and fun to watch. So now, I've officially seen the first season of Haunted Hotel. Again, pretty amusing. I know, Dan Harmon is a producer, and I think the creator was a writer on Rick and Morty, which explains why the vibe is, Rick and Morty, but without a lot of the annoying shit. And yes, I do say this as someone who still watches some... Look, you deal with a lot of annoying things in shows, even that you like, but... Yeah, that was honestly a pretty amusing watch. Can't wait for season 2. It only recently clicked for me that Abaddon, the big breakout character of the show, it seems, was voiced by one of the McPoyle brothers. So, keep that in the back of your noggin. Yeah, that's about it for watching stuff and things. So now let's move on to the usual weekly business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, Mercury calendars for new tunes and albums, all of that fun stuff. And this week, we have a bit of a motif. It's pretty much overwhelmingly hip-hop. It's like five rap songs and one pop thing. Electro-pop thing, but you know what I mean. So we should probably get things started. Because, the fucking alarms have been going crazy today. Just the one. It just keeps ringing over and over. The Alchemist. The Alchemist O'Clock. That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to hear that a lot this episode. So, first track we got is a one-off. But he's the producer, and the artist, rapper, is also producer himself. Chuck Strangers. Who I've talked about on Sunday before, he produced an album that I actually liked this year. That being one of Bodie James' videos. I think it's Token Appreciation. Yeah, that's the one he produced. That's the one, him and Bodie James collaborated, which I thought that was one of the better Bodie James records that he made. So anyway, he has a single album called Torn in Two. And okay, I gotta say, This is fucking soulful. I kind of love this. The way it goes on the record, the sample we got is I just fuck with it very heavy. Even got some close words like torn in two, damn you do, damn you don't. Broke down the holes on Allen Iverson. This is a fire song. Hearing the beat on it, it just sounds just amazing. I'm like, oh, this is fucking good. Like, even got every move don't pay. As a man, you should never make a pivot. Like, okay, this is some good shit. Like, I'm not saying most guys, like most people who come and say, oh, I need Clamor from Alchemist and whoever this is, but I mean, I'm not gonna say that, but I wouldn't mind it. This sounds good. Like I'm fucked with this.
The Alchemist does not miss. Yeah. And now moving on to the next track here. Oh hey, more Alchemist.
More Alchemist, because apparently this time it's with Hit-Boy again, and they have a new album out coming this Friday. No, really, coming out this Friday. Titled Goldfish. And also, they have a short film for some reason. Because it's a trailer of that, which has one of the Culkin brothers and one white guy I know from Workaholics and Coming the Machine and Big Hit's dad and Slink Johnson. Like, okay, what the? Oh, and Danny Trejo too. It's like, okay, that's just a cast.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, but we got another joint for them, titled Celebration Moments, featuring Havoc of Mobb Deep, which okay, yeah, I'll go with that. Also, it's also one of the songs that Alchemist produced. Which of course you know with this whole thing, like Alchemist got a verse, Hit-Boy has a verse, and of course, well, actually, the more look of it, I think Havoc is just doing the chorus, which the whole thing was like, okay, I mean, I thought he got some bars, but I mean, it's just the chorus, but I thought, okay, it's basically, you know, everything's a celebration moment, throwing paper out with dead faces on them, 47 XL cloak, looking suspicious on them, I see your words on the sheet, the rubber faces on them, that's Malcolm's dead from Hit-Boy, last in time of mine, on the grind, quicker than attached, I detach, no one keep me hashed, no rematch, no get back, they say it's difficult, but it's worse to... or different ways worth the regret, like maybe the shit like that, like the beat is cool. Like, I mean, I will say, I'm not kind of supposed to having to have a verse, but maybe it's the beat with other shit, based with the Mobb Deep album that came out. Yeah, by the way, check it out. This is a solid track enough. And of course, look what I'm like. Okay, good. And good to see how this come up. And also for that short film, which again, okay, yeah.
Yep, good stuff. I'm kind of hungry for chicken strips, though. Double frying is a good option.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look! It's more The Alchemist! Again! Again! And I can actually say some words here, because it's also Armand Hammer! So, yep. Yeah, y'all might remember back in 2021, because, you know, the guys in Armand Hammer never take a break. They dropped a collab album with The Alchemist called Haram, which fucking rules. And now, it looks like this is another one of those years where we're getting not just solo Billy Woods, but an fucking Arm & Hammer team-up album. It's called Mercy. It's coming out November 7th. I don't know if we're getting a lot of singles. It kind of sounded from the article I was reading like we're only going to get like maybe one. But we do have a single here, and that's the important thing. And it's called Super Nintendo. So we know that the guys in Arm & Hammer have really good taste. Seriously, y'all ever play Super Nintendo games? That shit fucking rule. Playing Donkey Kong Country as, like, a grade schooler will permanently alter your personality and brain chemistry. Especially if it's Donkey Kong Country 2 Diddy's Kong Quest. But I'm going on a tangent. So, As you could probably tell by the name, the song's lyrics are very, like, reflective and nostalgic. It's kind of a lot of the guys sort of looking back on their, you know, their lives, what's been going on, kind of how they see things differently between, you know, kind of present and past. Like, for example, Billy Woods' verse, he gets the second verse, he says bars like, "We had a time, don't let him say different. We was drunk and high watching Intervention."
Oh, man.
"We was just happy to be outside when our peoples was in prisons of all types. We was just living. It's easy now to talk about wrong and right. We was just living. It's easy now that you know the price. Never mind all that. Just put the money in the hat. Rewind my own raps and wonder where that brother's at. Mom's half deaf, still sharp, and starting to forget." So, yeah, just kind of a lot of reflective about the type of stuff you learn, you know, for good or ill with the broader passage of time. Ellison, he gets the first verse and some interesting bars like, "Of course she grabs hair that grows towards heaven, pleasure, possession, melding, black hole she fell in. Well, then every other year I'm shedding, core element delicate, containing curios and cabinets, black china, no embellishment." I think the bars in his verse are sort of the more abstract ones where you kind of have to, like, spend a lot of time figuring out what they mean. Although, I did laugh at "Miss Me With That Yacoubian News." Apparently, certain kinds of white people really do not like it when you call them Yacoubian. So I say call them Yacoubian.
Yacoubian.
And, of course, the chorus, you know, being like, "We had fun on that Super Nintendo. Sunday services, blue church out the window. We was done, finger guns to our temples." Man, now I just want to play Super Nintendo. See, yeah. This is why I'm glad I subscribed to NSO. Because now I can just boot up Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, and that sounds like something you hear from Nintendo. Like even the Nintendo sounds like, got the beep boop pop. You know, like that sound. Which, yeah, I was digging. Okay, and looking at the, you know, I know, like, probably the only single, we got here, and look at who's going to be on the album, like, "Old Sweatshirt," "Quirly Chris," "Pink Seafood." Okay, so basically, like, the usual sucks, like the usual suspects, I expect from my album from them, but yeah, it sounds all good.
Yes, it does. It's going to be a good one. So, now let's move on to not Alchemist territory, but y'all got to batten down the hatches, motherfuckers. It's that time of year again. Once again, it's time to scare the hoes. So, what we're getting here in this track is apparently not the official Volume 2 proper, but instead more of like a big deluxe edition thing, Scaring the Hoes Director's Cut, coming out on Wednesday. And yeah, the album art, yep, and the album art is a screenshot of JPEG Mafia having blocked you on Twitter. That is an album art choice, sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, it looks like the track list is just the original album plus the DLC pack and a couple extra, you know, tracks here and there. So pretty much like buying a complete edition of a game like 3 years after it drops. Or 2 years. However it works.
Yeah.
So, we do have one of those tracks here. It's called Manic! Exclamation point. And a couple things about this one. First of all, the song is pretty much Peggy on his own. No real Danny Brown bars on this one. But, second of all, despite the fact that the song is called Manic, it's arguably the most normal sounding song to come out of the entire Scaring the Host cycle. By which I mean, it kind of sounds like if you took three Alchemist beats and blended them into one. That could just be my opinion, though.
I will say the verse are pretty much like what you said from Peggy. Like, yeah, I was like, "I ain't gonna see me. You like Stevie with the Mary Balls?" Or like, "But since the fantasy only made us so appalled, I'm half Pac, half Cher, half Awesome Kong. Like bullet nigga, the funny body gonna need Logan Paul." I'm in a force with the Kimber with my final form. I still need more of my bitches to think on as Ricky Starks. I think I'm dark, but I'm before the ball. You get extra points if you be for me if you're mentally off. Damn.
Yeah.
this definitely a, you know, a JPEG track, and the cut is basically one of our best albums that we love the most. Talking about this shit is now and the director's cut, even though, like, you know, it's just like one new song, but still, you know, it's a good ad. If you want to listen to Skinner Holes again, which you should, then by all means.
So I'll just add in a few of my favorite bars. If your mom is a cop, fuck your mom. If your daddy's a cop, fuck your pa. You got a family of cops, I'm saying fuck them all. Break into your house, delete your files, then uninstall your DAWs. Learn your positions. You a snake boy. I'm big boss. I understood that reference. Amazon Fresh, bring that bitch to your door. She be making faces like L.A. Noir. God damn, someone else remembers L.A. Noir? That was a game that existed.
I'm pretty sure
bankrupted the company that made it. I could be wrong about that.
And that means Rockstar made games that's not just Grand Theft Auto online shit.
Could you imagine if we got an L.A. Noir sequel before GTA 6? Anyway, moving on from that to the next track here that actually does have Danny Brown on it, because it's from his new album coming out on November 7th, Stardust. More of his hyper-pop shit, this time with a track called Copycats, featuring guest contributions by Underscores. So, unsurprisingly, the beat here starts hard as fuck with a lot of saturated, syncopated bass synths that sound pretty hype as fuck. Then, of course, going into the chorus, which is a mix of computerized vocals and those kind of stereotypical MIDI piano keys, you know, the ones. And the bars are just kind of a lot of Danny on his hype shit, you know, lines like, better wake up because the weak stay, sleep when the money talk, listening ain't cheap, dance with the stars, I'm a walk on the moon, got my head in the clouds, ain't coming back soon. You know, just kind of hype shit like that, and it is very hype shit indeed.
Yeah, someone's hype shit, you said, get what you want, not what you ask for, some money, that's what I stand for, ain't nothing to be shallow, choose my path to walk the straight and narrow. Ooh, stop, remember broke days trying to get something all out of nothing. Before the big boss, you can't play us, I'm making pay up. Man, better wake up because weeks they sleep when the money talk, losing ain't cheap. Fuck a lot of doctor, I'm the one they want to be.
All good shit.
Yep, and that's a full on, well, part of the scaring the whole experience, kind of.
All right. So now with that, we move on to the final track here, which is literally the one not hip-hop track. And this one kind of takes us back. So it has been about a decade since we last heard a proper studio album from the experimental pop artist Peaches. As in, like, this was a magical time when there was an Adult Swim singles program and no Decibel Boost podcast.
Can we
have both, please? I miss the Adult Swim singles.
We all do.
We need the shit. Everything Adult Swim. We need that music back. Damn.
So yeah, a decade out from the release of I think it was called Rub. I think was the name of the album. We now have word that Peach's latest album will be dropping January 2026. No specific week listed, but the album is titled No Lube, So Rude, which I agree. Like, if you're going to go all the way in, then you got to have some lubrication, okay? That's just good manners.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have the lead-off single here, Not In Your Mouth, None Of Your Business. So, instrumentally, it's a very rhythmically focused kind of song, a lot of thumping kicks, these kind of subtle buzzy bass synths with super minimal melodic tinges. It's very stripped back, but the tempo and all of it is very high energy, especially with the way Peach's vocals kind of, you know, shout and drive the energy of everything. In this case, lyrically, the song is, as you can imagine, an LGBT pride anthem, specifically one of "You're not going to crush us in the face of, you know, all of everything." In fact, the lyrics are very blunted to the point, only really repeating, like, "I cannot be squashed or minimized, you will never take away our pride. Orders will make us slide down and die, we will stop you fucking up our lives." And then, of course, to repeat a refrain in the chorus, "not in your mouth and none of your business," which I assume is supposed to be a sexual connotation, but combined with the music video that's just peaches eating seafood, I'm not good with decoding metaphors like that, but, I mean, solid enough track, I can get behind that.
Needs more frogs. Needs more frogs.
Don't most things in life need more frogs?
Like Mr. Frog. Wait.
Okay, let's not go that far.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still on his enlightenment phase, so if we did, we'd have to wait, first of all. But, yeah. More frogs. Anyway, that about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a couple news topics we got to touch on, so stay tuned. And we're back. We have a couple news topics to discuss here, but they're both along the lines of a recent passing, so not exactly going to be like a super joyful section of the podcast. So,
Yeah. First
of all, the unfortunate passing of Sam Rivers, the longtime bassist of Limp Bizkit, who died at the age of 48. Jesus, 48. Yeah, that kind of, that stuff like that freaks me out a bit. Like, not even 50.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the longtime bassist of the group, who was around since literally the formation, played on all their albums, even played some guitar on Results May Vary. We don't really know what happened to cause his death, but yeah, it is kind of unfortunate. Like, okay, I know it's common for people in our circles to generally kind of mock the nu metal scene, but one thing that I think we've all, like, sort of realized over the years is that whenever it comes to this genre, we're the first thing we always give flowers to is, like, the rhythm section. Because, like, credit where it's due, a lot of these guys, drummers and bass players, they can play. And, you know, to be fair to Limp Bizkit, their songs did have some pretty sick bass lines and shit.
Yeah, not a good week for passings. Like, there's never a good week for passings, but just bad all around. You hate hearing about this, you hate seeing it. Go listen to the start of Rearranged. That's a killer bass line
indeed. So rest in peace to Sam Rivers. And then the other one that caught everyone off guard by surprise, the unfortunately passing of singer and soul artist D'Angelo.
Yeah.
51.
Yeah, 51. That's, that damn, man. Of course, we don't know D'Angelo, you know, as he was, he got big around the 90s. And of course, you know, songs like Brown Sugar, Lady. And of course, his most famous song, I don't know, How Does It Feel? Which, well, might be the one that, caused some body dysmorphia considering, you know, the whole thing with the video was him being filmed, him doing it naked. And
Yeah,
which, Again, that developed some, you know, serious body dysmorphia for him later on, which, that shit can happen. Like, the dude's an artist, like an artist, like, throughout his whole career, he had three albums. Like, the last one he did was 2014 with, the end of 2014 with Black Messiah, which, yeah, that might, yeah, that's going to be his last record, which, yeah, that's, yeah, I know some people want him to return with me too, but I guess never mind. Like he has performances here and there, like even teaming up with people like the Roots, for his clip at the Soulquarians. Man, 51, man.
Yeah, that's just, like, not great age-wise, but also considering just everything that went on with his life and just kind of, obviously, how the fame and success was not really great for him, considering, well, you know.
Yeah. Also, I kind of feel bad for, his son, considering, he lost both parents this year. Him and singer Angie Stone, who died a few months before in the car accident.
Yeah.
Imagine losing your parents within months of the year. That's very fucked up. Yeah.
Rest in peace, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, not exactly great times, but that, yeah, does it for the news. Now, there's only really one last thing we have to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of October 24th, 2025. Starting at the top, of course, there's the Wednesday release of the Scare in the Host Director's Cut. Then on actual Friday, what we're getting includes the likes of the new Acacia Strain album, You Are Safe from God Here. The newest album from metal band Conjurer with Unself. A brand new Soulfly album, Chama. From Cold Rain, we have a new EP called Optimize. From the Australian hardcore band D's Nuts. Not a name I've thought about since 2010.
A mood lifter.
They have a new album, Saudade. Of course, from Hit-Boy and The Alchemist, we have Goldfish. From Miguel, we have a new project called Kaos, C-A-O-S. And a new album from Demi Lovato with It's Not That Deep. Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
All the usual places. Discord, other Discords, my other show, some other places that I pop in on every once in a while because I'm a busy guy with work and other stuff. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
As usual, on the Blue Skies at Max Havoc Media, on the site, I'm on the HyperOne at HyperOne.wordpress.com. I don't know what new shit I got coming up. I'm working on some new shit, but it might be a while. I'm gonna need a breather. I did a whole bunch of shit not told, but I need a breather.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sewerresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on, Apple Podcast. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Sewer Resolution. Visit the website, sewerresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Of course, be sure to jump into a Discord server as well, so you can always be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. So, until then, you're really telling me the only thing that it takes to rob the Louvre is a ladder, four dudes, and the runtime of a Tom and Jerry episode?
Some of my said this would be a good looping episode of the third anime series. Part 7 coming up. Thank you.